Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast. We've had another long break. We're here because our listener told us we had to come back, so we're doing as we're told.
Why did we have a long break? I forget. Every Monday was just...
Yeah,
it's And we only have Monday to do it, so it only in the morning on Monday to do it. And it's, you know, the window between Thanksgiving and Christmas is...
I know, it feels really pressed this year. I'm not sure why. It's been really busy.
Yeah.
And stressful. I mean, everybody's in the world, and everybody in the world is stressed for some reason. I can't think of why. There's no good reason for everyone in the world to be super stressed.
Prices are only incredibly high. Gas is really expensive. Heat.
And everybody.
It's hard to heat your home.
Everyone has COVID. Everyone has COVID.
No idea why people are stressed.
So we didn't get COVID this month, but don't worry, we will.
Yeah, I think it'd be good. The Omicron thing apparently is like the best thing to get.
I don't really want to get
it. Or like you don't even, apparently if you're vaccinated, and I'm not saying who's vaccinated or not, but apparently if you're vaccinated, it feels like maybe you feel a cold, maybe nothing, but then you're totally immunized for everything. So,
well, I mean, I've read that, but I've also read other stuff that's been completely like, that's not true at all.
Everything you read on the internet about COVID is true. Everything.
That's maybe that's why I feel stressed, since I read like wildly different estimations of what.
Yeah, like COVID, whatever kind of COVID you get, you're immediately going to die. Or
every kind of COVID you get will not kill you at all. Why are you freaking out, stupid person?
Which makes it totally easy for people who are really good at science like us. To weave our way through this whole thing.
But also reading the internet. I'm increasingly bad at actually even reading the internet. I've been failing. So I also haven't blogged, and that was also unintentional, but I was trying to finish a draft. This thing was due sort of non-officially at the beginning of Advent, and now it's the end of Advent, and I haven't finished.
You're writing. Do you want to say what the thing is?
Because if it's so garbage and it never sees the light of day, then I don't even want people to know that I had ever done it.
Well, I'm sure it's not going to be that.
Well, it's really, the first draft is one of the first worst things I've ever written in my life. So now I'm going to start editing it this week. And actually, badly, I wrote it by hand, so I have to type it. I want to know why I don't have a personal assistant.
Why do you write by hand?
Because I've had such bad writer's block, like crippling writer's block, that to get over it, I've started doing things that people say that you have to do to get over writer's block. And one of them is, if you exclusively write on a computer, start writing by hand. Because sometimes, and I did find that to be the case, like if you just can't write, you start writing by hand, and something goes off in your brain and you can put words on the page again. But then, nobody told me this, you have to type the words. You can't just give the notebook.
Well, that's why you need the person. Okay, actually, that's why you need a servant to.
Yeah, so I've accomplished a lot this month. I finished listening to Don Quixote all 40 hours, and I finished this draft. And then at the end of listening to Don Quixote to cleanse my palate, I listened to something called The Art of Less Doing. It was like a 2-hour book. And this guy, I have so much rage right now. I need to say some things. First of all, I don't think that it's a good spiritual practice to master all the technology. That is a dubious.
Is that what he said?
Moral end.
Master all the technology.
Yeah, because you can't have servants now. Because do you want to know the way that you can work less? You can work 1 hour in a week. I kid you not. This was the way this is his solution for overwork.
Did he literally say work 1 hour a week?
Yeah. Okay. Or no, a day. Sorry. 1 hour a day of thought work. Because I guess he doesn't count housework as work. So that was my first problem. Second way, the way that you accomplish doing less is by literally offloading all of your work onto other people. And he recommends a service where you get online and you get people in India and China to do your work for you.
Oh.
And for a fee. I was like, "What? Wait a minute. Am I in some other?" So wait, your solution to doing less work is, first of all, to have a lot of money so that you can get other people to do your work. And second of all, to get other people to do your work. That's not. What?
Yeah.
So then I wanted to know, like, what would his wife?
Self-help books to say, like, the real solution is be rich.
Right, that's, yeah, that's actually
to,
what.
How to get out of work, make a filthy lot of money.
Like, actually be rich.
Do all your stuff, right?
I'm sorry. That wasn't the solution I was looking for. Or, you know.
Right.
Go on holiday. What? I actually
it's like,
wanted.
You get this sense, like, they're writing, like, for people in, like, living in Manhattan. Like, how do you, you live in a $20 million apartment high rise
and you're so stressed.
How do you manage your stress? Well, you buy more servants. You get more people to do your stuff.
You've master all the apps so that you can, you know, send people stuff without having to leave your desk chair. I was offended by the book. And then, you know, that's the other thing. That's the huge problem of COVID, is that there's two kinds of ways of living out COVID. And it's a class issue. I'm in the wrong class for COVID. There's the, we can't leave our houses because COVID is so dangerous, which is a pretty small section of the world doesn't have to leave their house. And then there's the rest of us who have to leave our houses.
Yeah, right. I love that, like, when the recovery first started and they had all the shutdowns, there was, I think Babylon Bee had that article with, like, all the yachts.
Yeah. We're in this together.
Right? They're all the yachts had arranged themselves to make a sign for,
they
the,
said,
for
imagine,
their drone. No, it was, we're in this together. Right. Because there was the video, it was a serious video put out by a bunch of celebrities in their mansions.
Yeah. And they were singing Imagine.
Yeah, right.
And everybody was like, we tried imagining, and that was a big waste of our time. Are you kidding me?
It does seem like living in New York State, you see a pretty stark. Hello, Hunter. The dog is now breathing heavily on me. It does seem like the people in New York City have a very different way of looking at the world than everybody else in the whole world.
Well, but within New York City, like, even, I mean, the people in New York City who don't have to leave their houses is also a small percentage of the people who live in New York City, because most of the people have to leave their houses to deliver stuff to the people who can't leave their houses. I mean, there's, when you get an app to order bagels delivered to somebody in Kansas City from Manhattan, somebody had to leave their house to do that. Like, the app removed, but somebody else's day was
ruined.
That was their whole job, was delivering your bagels, right? Which is, to me, it feels like the height of decadence. The book that I just read, I can't afford a service where I offload my work to somebody in India who wouldn't be able to read what I had written on the page.
I need you to do some research on, well, you don't do any research for your writing, do you?
No. I make a point.
Just don't do it.
I make a point of not reading anything. I just.
Hunter is sniffing the microphone, so.
To see if it's okay. Yeah. He's exhausted. So, I mean, I think what we should just do is, like, a month wrap up here. How was your December?
It was, okay. So I have begun to climb out of the deep hole of depression because of church, because the attendance had been so bad all summer and all fall. And the reason I climbed out of my depression is because the attendance got better. So it's not like I dealt with anything in a spiritual way, like, I shouldn't I shouldn't hang my entire self-worth on who comes to church and who doesn't come
to
church.
But you literally do.
But I do. But now things are better, so I feel better.
Oh my gosh. I mean, that's very tenuous.
Yeah, so it's after Christmas when the dip comes, and then you can expect some hard times around the household.
Oh, man. this was a crazy... I feel like I have been working and working and working to little or no... It is like... It's like the wheel of church attendance that you spin around.
Yeah.
That's my say. It's not church attendance for me, but it's everything else. I can't even remember what it all is.
I was talking to a parishioner yesterday over lunch about this, and I was saying, because so he came to Good Shepherd.
You're really going to go down
there? I'm going to go down there. We had 47 people.
Path of nostalgia.
We built up to 90. We lost our church. We came to the new church. We built up to 157. And then we had like just the mass exodus of people moving to different
from
places.
From Binghamton, people were like, yeah. Oh my word, I can't live here.
Yeah.
This is the worst.
I would say a good 40 people, 50 people, a good chunk of our congregation just decided in 1 year.
We have to get out of
here. We have to move away from Binghamton to follow our dreams or follow. They're legitimate reasons.
A lot of them just needed money.
They just needed money, right? Binghamton's not the greatest place in the world to get that. So they all ran away to various places, and we missed them very much. But then, so we had to build back up.
Which we did.
We crawled back up to like 130, and then, mm-hmm. and then COVID, right? And so for the year after, I'm sorry, after COVID.
COVID's yeah, I don't know. End, There's but, no end to COVID.
Right. So now we're like, we were cruising at like 90 to 100 throughout the summer. And it was so frustrating. And then finally,
we're finally breaking
building back 100. Out. But it does feel like who's the guy who keeps rolling the thing up the hill and getting crushed by it? And then,
Sisyphus.
Yeah. And he has to roll it up every. That's what ministry feels like. If you're fixated on numbers, which I am, that's what ministry feels like.
So. Well, that's what house cleaning feels like, or like everything in my life feels like I push a rock up the hill, and at the end of the day, it crushes me.
But see, now you should expect that with house cleaning, because we have eight large people living in our house, including us, and then we have two dogs and three cats, which I advised you against. I remember this back in, what was it, June?
So this is really Festivus today.
Yeah, we're gonna have the recriminations. Back in June, I said, I quote myself, we have one small dog and one fat cat who doesn't poop everywhere, only in her box. This is heaven. This is good. We can maintain this. But then we wanted to get a dog. And then we wanted to get two or one more cat, a little baby cat.
Yeah, and it was a good baby cat because he killed. There's the slaughtering of the weekly slaughtering of the innocents where he actually kills and eats a mouse with great enjoyment and brutality. And because our humane traps don't work. I mean, we have mice in this house. We need
they walk past the traps with.
They saunter past, and the baby cat. Kills them.
Yeah. Well,
and the fat cat can't.
Well, then we also have a 15-year-old cat that we reinherited.
That's the cat that's causing us all of our sadness right now. Okay. And we can't do anything.
15 years old. He's incontinent.
It's just so devastating.
Awful. So, okay. But that's one reason why the house is crazy, because you, and also the big dog. Knows how to get on counter. He knows how to get his massive paws up on counters and drag things down to the floor and eat them. So we'll walk
he's
in.
So fat.
Yeah, he's just. We bought him. He was like this sleek,
thin
dog. He was a little too thin. So we fed him, but
that's boy, not the did problem. We feed him?
That's not the problem anymore.
We really fed him. Boy,
right.
He eats everybody's food, all the
but
cat
why,
food.
Why isn't cleaning, isn't housekeeping, isn't it by nature, that's the nature of the task, because you're always doing it.
Okay, but the thing that really ticks me off about this guy who wrote this book is that I bet he would recommend that we buy ourselves a maid.
Yeah.
And I find that to be extraordinary. I mean, you can't.
Well, I really liked the. I remember thinking when you're watching Brady Bunch when I was a kid, and Alice just lived there right next. Her door was right off the kitchen.
That is so epic.
And she was like, get up in the morning and make
and
breakfast.
And she was happy.
No, yeah, she had a great life. You know, she had a one room apartment in the Brady house. So, what more could you want?
And of course, there were people to actually clean the set.
They took her on vacation with them so she could serve them while they were on their vacay. So, what we need.
I know. That's what we need. I've been told that by people online. I can't have that. Let's talk about something else other than our grievances.
Well, you asked for a summation of the month, and so we were talking about that. But we didn't even do our post. You need to do a very special Thanksgiving episode of.
We're going to. Aren't we?
Is this a very special Thanksgiving?
Oh, no. We're going to do a very special Christmas episode.
Yeah, we're going to do a very special Christmas episode. Yeah. Not now, but like when.
We'll post it after Christmas.
Is Saturday.
we'll post it after Christmas. Okay.
Maybe we'll have like live moments of cooking and screaming and cursing for Christmas Day.
Oh, man. Let people in on our lives.
Yeah.
I just read.
Because that's what everyone wants.
Well, yeah. I just read this other line. It actually ticked me off. There's a lot of reading that I'm doing right now that's really bothersome to me. So I'm reading On Writing Well because I thought, oh, well, that's a book I should probably read. And I came across this line again, which I keep running into it and it really bugs me. It says, ultimately, the product that any writer has to sell is not the subject being written about, but who he or she is. And everybody... Ultimately, the product that any writer has to sell is not the subject being written about, but who he or she is.
Really? That's not true.
Yeah. Like, but that is a thing that I've read in every book about writing recently.
Well, I mean, do they just mean like they have to like you? Like your personality?
Think so, but...
I've read writers that are just, like, annoying. And that may... Like, there's writing styles that are annoying. And, I mean, is that what they mean? I can get on board with that.
Well, I think probably it means that you should be personable. You know, you should be personable, right? Your writing should not be cold, rock-like, crushing the person as they read it. You should have, even in nonfiction, maybe especially in nonfiction, there should be some warmth, some personableness. You have to get the person on board with whatever it is that you're writing about. And but when you met, because it bothered me, because I read that line and then I read this part of this line. I don't know what this is from, but I'm going to read this. Sometimes just being yourself is the radical act. And I feel like that's what I'm hearing. Okay, sure. Okay. You're the product that's being sold when you write your book. Maybe, but not when you take the word yourself in terms that it's used today, which is that you are so special.
Okay.
You are the one on the page. That's really what people need to connect with is you.
All right. Okay. I see. Yeah, yeah.
And I think, no, like it's the things that I'm writing about. It's the ideas that I'm writing about that matter. And I would say that I don't like that. Especially when I'm blogging on Sunday,
but they're okay.
I want people to connect with God, not
right.
with
okay,
me.
Okay, but there are writers who convey a mystique, like P.G. O'Rourke or Hunter S. Thompson or Hemingway. So you kind of read them, and you are also buying into their what the mystique that they're selling.
They are selling themselves.
Yeah, and this is not a totally new thing. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you can think of women writers like Jane Austen, right? she's selling a mystique, a kind of way of thinking and being in the world that, that is hers, and you want to enter into that world. All of our girls dressed up as Jane Austen things, like that, that's it, right?
Yes.
For Halloween.
Yes and no. Like, she was also writing about something. Like, and what she wrote about was interesting.
Yeah,
she created a world. Yeah, like, yeah. Tolkien created a world that did come out of his own mind, that mm-hmm. That people wanted to go into that world and, right. and inhabit it. But that world wasn't.
But you kind of also want to be with Tolkien. But, oh yeah, but you kind of want to also be Tolkien and like be with him in that pub while he's smoking his pipe and drinking his beer with C.S. Lewis and talking about.
That's maybe this is where I'm completely at odds with the rest of humanity, because whenever I think of the Inklings, they're in their pub, in their room, smoking, talking with each other. I've never thought, you know what I want to do? I want to go be with those people. I'm happy to read the books that came out of those conversations and those embodied relationships. But I haven't ever really thought, I want to go and be with C.S. Lewis. That sounds so stressful.
Well, I mean, not like, of course, you just walk in, hey, I'm Matt from America, and I'm here to talk about literature with you guys. Well, yeah.
Hey, Matt from America.
right, that would. But if you're like part of the, I mean, it makes you want something like that, like a literature circle.
Yeah. So everybody has been trying to recreate the Inklings. Yeah, every single evangelical in America has been trying to recreate the Inklings as if, and get that golden, but do it. We can't do it because we're all online,
and we're not that. We're not those people,
and we're not those people.
Right. So, yeah, because I imagine, like, people looking back at the writing things being published right now will also, like, discern a kind of mystique around certain writers that those writers don't know they have.
Yeah, okay, so that's what it is. When you tell yourself, here's where it breaks down. I'm going to create a mystique, or I'm the product that's being sold. I need to put myself into this work. It's like saying, I need to find happiness. I need to go look and like be happy. It's like trying to
grab sand and have it all slip to your
fingers. Yeah, what it is. Like, expressing yourself as a radical act. If you tell yourself that expressing yourself is a radical act, you have just then not had a radical act.
So, like, if you strive for happiness, you'll never get it. If you strive for what is good and true, right. Then you'll find happiness thrown in with it.
So if you're a writer, you should write about something. I think reading a line like this, you know, you're the thing that goes on the page. Everybody now hears, oh, I'm the thing that goes on the page. I must think about this more. I must put more of myself on the page.
How do I do this?
How
is this really? Is this article enough about me?
Yeah, I don't think I'm in here enough.
Hmm.
So that's why I'm reacting.
That's interesting. It does remind me, like, when I first started preaching, that I had this very sweet
everybody lady. Was like, I need to hear more of you.
What's your story? And I don't want to hear about the Bible. I want to hear about your story.
Yeah.
No, you don't want to hear my story.
Yeah, you don't. But that's important, because you can tell when a preacher is preaching a text that has not been preached to them, when they're writing the sermon and they did not emotionally
whack them upside the head.
Yeah. They were not changed by the text themselves. So when the preacher is preaching a text, you can tell whether or not Zur has been changed by the text. Really, you can tell. The problem is that every preacher has to preach texts that don't deeply move them or don't convict them. So you have to show up anyway.
Yeah.
But it's not a good thing to preach if you haven't been.
But that's not because of you. You're not like giving yourself, you know, letting the people see you. That's not why it's a good sermon. It's because when you've interacted with the text in that way, you get it. You get the text. You understand what the text is saying.
And that comes out in the preach moment. Like the congregation can perceive whether right. or not the preacher has undergone that transformative work.
Right.
So maybe that's what they mean.
I've preached sermons where I didn't feel the text. I mean, I was deadened by the text, but other people felt like it was really a good sermon. So I don't know. I mean, God's word does have power, even if it doesn't.
That's true.
Whack you.
But but you can generally tell.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And you have to show up and do it anyway, but you should not over time have a lot of times where you are unmoved or you are unconvicted or right. you just show up and preach. I think that's what people mean when they say they want more of you. Like, I want to hear more about you.
Well, no, I mean, they told me that they really wanted to hear more about me.
Oh, okay.
They didn't want to hear about the Bible. It's just, I don't hear the Bible, I don't hear you. But yeah, maybe that's what they mean. But
I think some people mean that when they say that.
Yeah.
I've heard that. And I don't think they mean like, I want more stories. Or they think that's what they want.
Let's just throw this text from the Bible out today and I'm going to talk to you about, let me tell you a story about my childhood.
Well, that's what people think they want. But then when they get a steady diet of that, it turns out that they are not happy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like the recipe posts where to get to the recipe, you have to have long, long stories
about
how he was in Rome and I was eating pasta and I was so happy and it was me. And then by the time you get to the recipe, you're like, I don't want to read
this anymore. I found one, but it was really cool. I found one recently it was recipe pages and the recipe was right up front.
And then the blog was story, after.
Yeah, I was like, man.
What?
Does this even happen? So, it's interesting.
Mm. Well, so I think those are the main things that have been bothering me for the last few minutes. I'm trying to think if is there anything that you feel like you need to say to the listener of this podcast?
I mean, we have this mask mandate about which nothing will be said, which I'm
having a difficult time with.
Yes. Because it was just like announced to lots of people, like you, and it was, and it requires businesses and churches and everything to enforce this for the state, right? By kicking people out of their establishments who aren't wearing masks, regardless of vaccination status, from over two and over, like, so to enforce this, I'm not saying anything about what Good Shepherd is doing, but I'm saying, if a church were to enforce this, they would have to say to a family coming in who don't want to mask their 3-year-old, get out of our church.
I'm sure they expect you to say it more nicely than that.
Okay. Would you please mask your 3-year-old?
Would you please leave?
I can't mask my 3-year-old. Oh, well, I'm sorry. Then you can't worship the Lord Jesus Christ with us this morning because you won't put a mask over your baby, your toddler. So I mean,
3-year-olds.
My guess is, like I said, I am not speaking at all for anything at Good Shepherd, but or any personal church that I know of. But I'm sure that this is being... churches are doing what they will do. And
you should stop talking now.
Yep. Stopping talking. But that's just, I mean, I don't think she was, the governor was thinking about churches in particular. I don't think she was thinking about anything except.
Well, like so many, I think she lives in a bubble. Yeah, I think she's
Albany or New York City bubble where you just think, oh, well.
But even within that, like not all of Albany or not all of New York City. It's just like a small section of life where you are not, you don't have embodied relationships with the unwashed of the earth.
Right.
The people who do shop at Price Chopper and Aldi and, you know, like Walmart. Although, you know, I'm pretty sure that masking in Walmart is a good thing to do.
Well, you don't have
enough. Not licking all the stuff. I don't lick things in Walmart. I feel like I've definitely seen other people.
I mean, I haven't gotten the cold since the start. Actually, I haven't got a cold for 4 years, so.
You keep saying that like it means something.
It just is amazing, like, it's to me. I have not gotten a fever or a cold for 4 years.
Nobody cares. about you not getting a cold. No one.
And I've been around lots of people with colds.
No one cares.
It's amazing. I'm like amazed a demigod. At myself.
You should bring more of that to the podcast.
Yeah.
Your own amazement at yourself.
I have to go to the doctor in January, don't I?
Yeah, right away, like right after Christmas.
Let's cancel that.
You need to like go cancel that yourself because that took me a lot of work to make that appointment for you. Yeah.
And I've been dreading this doctor's appointment.
So you
should. Since I've been 18 because I knew about what would happen to me.
Cancel it. So, you should go.
I'm not going to go. I'm not doing the doctor thing. I'm going to cancel it and I'll say, well, I'll reschedule this indefinitely at some point in the future. Mm-mm. Meaning like 70.
No, you're going to go to the doctor.
I'm serious though. I'd rather die than what.
No, but nobody else would rather you die. That's extremely selfish.
I think there's some people who'd rather.
That's true. <die. laughs> But not the people who made the appointment for you. Yeah. Well, maybe we should give some Christmas advice.
Christmas advice.
Or the Advent for advice. Our daughter just missed the bus for her last day of community college.
How did she miss the bus?
She
meandered down there?
Meandered down there. So maybe this is the end of this podcast. This is her last day of her first semester of community college.
She's transferring to another college next year, but
maybe next year.
We did community college. We just wanted to see. Okay.
You know what? No, this has been the best money we have never had to spend in the world. She's going to take math and science next semester and her PE. And it's going to cost no money at all for things that she hates. And then she's going to go off and do interesting things with her life.
Yeah.
And to the tune of no money.
We did community college because we wanted to see whether or not the homeschooling thing actually works.
Well, and because in the era of COVID, like I think she had been thinking of going away to college. But with COVID, that just made everybody stressed. Like, because going home, being sent home, you know, like if she were to take out a big loan for school and then spend most of the semester online.
Right.
Because... this way we just didn't do that.
But it was a good decision.
Yeah.
She actually is doing really extremely well.
Yeah. She's bored out of her skull.
Yeah.
That's such a wonderful thing. I have no idea. I thought maybe she wasn't that smart.
Or maybe we did a horrible job and.
Yeah. No, it's just wonderful. So I really do recommend it. And she's had to meet like real people who aren't just Christians, which was also a thing. I'm sort of wary of sending my child into a purely Christian environment because Christians are so weird. No, she missed the bus. Okay, well.
It's time to go pick up the child.
Thank you so much for listening. And we are going to be back. Probably next Monday, we'll post our extra special super Christmas special on Monday. So happy and watchful Advent 4 to you, not Merry Christmas.